Are we gaining anywhere in that area? Just recently, Debbie and I have kind of been in a little truck, delving into things about, well, for me, really being conformed to the image of Jesus and working with that in the way I treat my wife. And I asked her the other day, do you think, is there any difference? Have you seen any difference? Do you think I'm growing? She said, well, you have been. She mentioned some things where she's seen notice, and then she mentions that, but something kind of slipped the last few days. But it was a gauge. And, I said, well, I feel that I'm changing on the inside. And give me time for it to get out, to show up, because it eventually will. But, kid, could you possibly think of a better gauge? Could you possibly think of someone who would know better than your wife? The answer to that question, am I improving? Am I being transformed? Am I going through transformation, or am I just stuck here and refusing to get unstuck? Our wives are the best people to be able to speak into our lives in those things. And so many times we'll go and, ask somebody else and who only see us on Sunday morning when we got a great big smile on and they're, how you doing? Well, praise the Lord, brother, I'm just doing great. I'm wonderful. Everything's cool. Well, I often wonder, what would your wife say? How great you've been. So we want to think about this because I'm amazed at how men in general will steer away from deep heart issues. I was with a group today, a group of men, and we were talking about stupid stuff as far as I was concerned. And I was sitting there for the most part. And I was just, why are we sitting here discussing this? And it just dawned on me, most of these people, they want to keep talking as much as they can, because as long as they do, they're not touching anything that's really deep that they might be a little bit nervous about getting into. We're notorious for that, putting up a camouflage. And we'll get started talking about something else rather than touch something that really needs to be, that's sensitive or that needs to be dealt with in our lives. We need to learn to be vulnerable. I'm more interested in that when seeing a person's character. How do you act at home? What do you like around your house? What do you like with your spouse? What do you like with your kids and so forth? Now, there's a few things that I want us to look at in this regard. Number one, if we are to be like Christ, or to be like-minded with Christ, and if Christ understands how women think, then we must also learn to understand how women think. Well, we are to be to our wives the way Christ is to his church. Do you think Christ understands his church? I think he understands the way the church thinks. Does he understand how women think? I think he understands them. So if he does, then we must realize and recognize, then we can as well. And we have to see that as a responsibility to be able to understand. Listen to this. As men, we often label women as mysterious and incomprehensible. Because we do that because it takes the responsibility off us to be truly Christ-like in our attitudes and behaviors toward our wives. We use it as an excuse, in other words. Well, I'll never understand her anyway, so we don't even try. We don't bother to listen. It excuses our unwillingness to genuinely listen to their hearts, to try to determine how their feelings are being displayed in their eyes, in their facial expressions, and in their body language. In other words, we just suggest that we'll never understand her, so we don't really listen when they're expressing themselves a certain way, in a way that we wouldn't express ourselves emotionally, because women are, generally speaking, much more emotional than men. And usually, if you're a typical man, when a woman starts expressing themselves emotionally, you kind of turn back and you don't know how to deal with this. And so you just kind of back up a little bit. And then if it's something about your behavior, well, a man doesn't want to see his wife cry. So he wants to fix it. what he's hearing really isn't the problem. The problem is you don't hear me. You don't understand me. You don't understand how I feel. So how can I be intimate with you if you don't understand how I feel? And the man just says, well, tell me what to do. That's really another cop-out. As men, we have to do everything we can in order to try to understand our wives. In fact, Peter tells us that, and husbands, likewise, dwell with them, your wife, with understanding, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel, as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered. So Peter tells us that we must understand them. We must make an effort to understand them, and if we fail to understand them, then our prayers can be hindered. If we fail to be able to hook up with the way they're feeling sometimes, at least to be able to express to them that you really care, you really hear them, you're doing everything you can to understand them. Otherwise, they feel totally isolated because we go to our work or we get involved very much in work. And quite frankly, I think men often get so much more worth out of work, generally going to work, than women do. If we don't understand that, we'll not use the right language to be able to minister to them and speak to them. Live with your wives in an understanding way, giving honor. We do not honor someone if we don't attempt to understand them. One of the, I think, the best book I've ever read on two things, weaving the transformation of becoming more like Christ with honoring your wife and understanding your wife and so forth, weaving those two together. Understanding the Mind of a Woman by Ken Nair, N-A-I-R. By far the best book I've ever read. I mentioned it to some of my friends, and Joel Wittish, the only guy that I met at that I know of that actually bought it and read it, and he said it's just kind of transformed him. And his wife said, so you're the one that got him to read this and got all this going. And she's pretty thrilled at some of the changes he's making too. I think it's excellent. Okay, let's look at the second one. If we are to love as Christ loved, then we must learn how to totally give ourselves to the betterment of our wives, as Jesus did and is doing for the church. We know that the scriptures tell us very clearly that Jesus is ever making intercession for us. And so if we're going to treat our wives the way Christ does the church, then it's our responsibility to pray for our wives, to intercede for them, to speak blessing upon them, that they'll have a great day, that they'll know the joy of the Lord, and that they'll experience righteousness, peace, and joy in their lives. This huge. It's a attribute of Jesus that we are to walk in. As Jesus is doing that for a church, and we think about it, we have to stop every once in a while. Okay, Jesus, what are you doing for the church today? Heaping blessing on it. Number three, if Jesus is in accord or co-spirited with his church, then a man must learn what it means to be co-spirited with his wife. A man's relationship with his wife is an indication of the level of transformation toward Christ-likeness. So Jesus prayed to the Father that he might be one with the church might be one with him, and you and I, he's taken that as a huge responsibility. He's come before the Father and praying that. It's our responsibility to pray that before the Father as well, that our wife and I might become one in every way. You know, legally, you know, we become one flesh at the wedding ceremony and so forth. But, you know, spiritually, to be connected, we are to live our lives as that being a goal in our relationship, that we become one, that we become of one mind and one spirit. If a husband is to portray Christ before the world, his number one candidate to view his progress is his wife. His number one candidate. And this is something that I think if we were to take to heart, and we would many times listen to people, you know, I've been in Bible studies over the years and listening to people, and they may sound so spiritual and everything's so good. And then I find out later on how they treat their wife, how they treat their kids, and it seems like they're more interested in portraying Christ-likeness to people around them than they do in their home. And God sees that totally different. It has to be in the home first. That is the number one place for us to display Christ-likeness. And I think it's sometimes we almost, because we don't want light to shine in particular areas, we're almost like the alcoholic, where we will make friends with everybody else, but home is like hell. The people at home are like strangers. And too often, marriages are like that, and unfortunately, it's in the Christian community. It gets in the Christian community, and it seems men and women live their lives day in and day out and never seem to take the initiative to do anything about it. We think that we can't do anything about it, but we can. Now, here's a question. How many of us have ever told our wives that if you see me not living up to my commitment in marriage, if you see me working too much, if you see me not paying attention to my children, you be the gauge now, you tell me, and I'll make it right. As unselfish as that may sound, it's really very selfish. Because when we say that to our wives, our spouses, what we're doing is giving them the responsibility of how good a father I am or how good a husband I am. Or if you say, well, you know, if you see me slacking off spiritually, not being spiritual enough, then let me know. We relegate that responsibility over to them, where they should never have that responsibility. That should be our responsibility. We should be constantly monitoring those things and not having to wait for our wife to be to have to pinpoint that. When we do that, it's almost like saying, we've got more important things to think about. You look after that area, but if I'm looking after the kids properly, if I'm putting the right amount of hours in at work, or if I'm spiritual, you look after those things. You gauge those things, because I'm going to think about more important things. And so we give them a responsibility that, we're the ones that are supposed to take ownership of it. If we'll do that, our wives should never have to be concerned about us spending too much time at the wrong thing. Because we'd be gauging it continually. It's very important that we don't give our wives a responsibility that they were never meant to have. Christ never treats his church that way. Christ never looks at his church and say, now if you ever find that I'm not doing to you what I'm supposed to be doing, if I'm not treating you the way I should be, let me know and I'll fix it. Christ takes that responsibility. He makes sure that he's doing it right. And if we are to love our wives as Christ loved the church, then it's our responsibility to take the initiative, make sure we're gauging things properly. We should be the ones that are noticing. Are we taking care of spiritual matters in our home? Are we seeing that the right amount of time is spent with family? Are we gauging all these things correctly? I believe that's a place that God has given man to gauge and where to look after it properly. Women are responders. They will always respond to the way they are treated. Men are the leaders. Finding out what it is that will cause your woman to feel honored and respected, it's our responsibility to find out what that is. Women will respond to the honor language or love language in which she operates by. So, for men, it's up to us to find out what's her love language. What are the things that would make her feel honored? Because if a woman does not feel honored, it has pretty much the same effect as men. Whether we like to admit it or not, we like to be honored. Everybody likes to be honored. Everybody should be honored. And if we're around people who do not honor us, we don't enjoy it very much. And we'll usually find somebody else who would like to have me around them. If our women don't feel honored by their husbands, then they're going to feel very, very isolated. They're going to be wondering what's wrong with them. Is there something wrong with me that my husband doesn't honor me, I feel used by my husband. We have to be able to speak to them, or pardon me, have to be able to understand and know what their honor language is. And, you know, we use the idea of love languages a lot. Some people will say, you know, well, you know, when I get flowers, I really, that's my love language, to get flowers, or to get cards, or take me out, or something like that. That's my love. I really feel close to you. I really feel loved and so forth when you do that for me. It's important for us to know that. And it's also important for us to know, okay, what are the things I could do, or what are the things that cause you to have a sense of feeling honored? And I'm convinced that men do that naturally toward other men a whole lot easier than they do it toward women a lot of times. So I think it's an area that we need to be conscious of. When you look at what Christ has done for the church, we're just totally honored in every way, shape, or form. During the Ancient Paths meetings that we had here, one of the sessions, I forget if it was the session that Craig Hill spoke about over the video or whether it was John that spoke it, but he spoke about blessing, both blessing your children, about speaking blessing over them. I always kind of understood that, but the way it was presented then, it talked about the amount of times that blessing was to be spoken over. And the Jewish people, for instance, every Sabbath, every Friday night, there were blessings spoken over the children and over the house. So it was an ongoing thing. And I feel that when it comes to honoring, like these little things that can be done a part of everyday life, makes all the difference in the world when it comes to displaying honor to our spouses. Like it's the things, it's not huge things generally. It's small things, it's just to show that you are considering them and that there's not things that are relegated to things that she has to do and you have no part in it. But just everyday things showing honor. I think that's the only way it works. We would like to not pay attention to that all year, and then let's take her on vacation. And generally, when that kind of thing gets carried on, the wife is so dishonored by that time, that big thing doesn't mean too much anyway. We must find out what her honor language is. Now, one of the things that men have great ideas, you know. Some people like to come out of a parking lot with a $60,000 truck or a $70,000 Mercedes Benz, and you know, as a sign of prosperity and so forth. But the real question is, what's your wife like? Is she happy? Does she feel honored? Is she a woman that feels honored? Are you willing to lay your life down for her? Does she have that sense about her that you would actually lay down your life for her? Does she know that not only factually because you said you would, but or can she feel it? Can she really relate to it? I believe that God has called us to be individuals that can relate to the person that God has given us, that we are to be connected and be able to relate to one another, that eventually when you get to the place of almost 50 years like Ross, that you almost think the same. Or you know what you think.
We often do already. That.
I remember one time, I was kind of a baby Christian then, but I was going to this Bible study at other people's home, and Debbie wasn't with me. But I remember going in, and I was hearing the way they were talking to one another. They were ribbing. The husband would say something about the wife that day or something. But it was everybody was laughing and joking about it. But really, it was degrading. I went there a few times, and I noticed that there was some hurtful things starting to being said. And I thought, there's something really wrong with this. And I mean, I would do it too from time to time. I really caught me that there's really something wrong when we use our wives as a blunt of our jokes or to get a laugh from other people and so forth. That's really so wrong. I can remember, you know, I don't remember where we were or anything, but I certainly remember in the drive home, and he turned to me and said, you know what that made me feel like when you said that tonight? I used to, you know, in my ignorance and stupidity, I would say, oh, well, that's not what, I never meant anything by that, and just shrug it off. Meanwhile, she was hurting. Yeah. She was wounded, felt dishonored, hurt about my insensitivity. And so, you know, it's so important to recognize that in those little areas we have to honor. If we'll learn their love language, if we'll learn their honor language, I believe that through all of this we will learn to be more, become more Christ-like. I think as men, we really desire to, and as a church, to be a church with good, solid, happy marriages. I mean, there's so many marriages that are, yeah, they're together and they never get divorced, but they're not anywhere near what they should be. And we want to speak about those things that hopefully make them a joyous thing, not a survival. I survived 50 years marriage. Well, that's a poor statement, yeah, you know. It's got to be a, you know, it's been great.